This morning, we are going to look at the spiritual blessings of obedience. You know, this month is month of what? What is this month? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this morning, we're going to look at the spiritual blessings of obedience. Before we start, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we commit ourselves to you this morning, Lord. As we are about to share your word, Lord, we ask for the Holy Spirit to come and teach you your word, Lord, to make your word, to review your word for our understanding, Lord. Because without understanding, there's nothing we can do, but it's only you can do that we understand, Lord. This morning we're asking, Lord, give us the understanding, Lord, of your word, Lord. And as we are listening to your word this morning, Lord, I pray that every word I speak should come from the empty, Lord. Make me your vessel, Lord. The word has to be my word. Let me be your word, Lord. Everyone that's listening to this word is my brother, Lord, shall be free, Lord. Thank you, my brother, Lord. I'm happy in Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen. So I said, this morning we're looking at spiritual blessings of obedience. Let's open our Bible to Haggai. Haggai 2, verse 10 to 19. If you are here, please speak for us.
Haggai 2, 10 to 19. On December 18th, February 8th. In the 4th and 28th day of the 8th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus said the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the Lord, saying, If one bears only flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, No. Then said Haggai, If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, It shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, said the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. Since those days were when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were about 10. When one came to the press part to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were about 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with ale in all of the labors of your hands. Yet it touched not unto you, said the Lord. Consider now from this day upward. From the 4th and 28th day of the 8th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the vine? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree has not brought forth. From this day will I bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. First, I'm going to assume that most of us on every level truly want to obey God. Do you agree with me? On every level, we want to obey God. That is, as Christians, we want to do the right thing, we want to please our Lord if we can. Everybody agree with me with that statement? In putting the matter that way, I'm going to give you the benefit of doubt. It is always easy to question motive, but this morning I'm going to start with the assumption that in your better moments, you truly desire to please God. Am I, in my assumption is right?
Yes.
Excellent. Now, my second assumption is that no one obeys God all the time. That's my second assumption. No one obeys God all the time. As James said, we all stumble in many ways. You can find that in James 3, verse 2. Now, you see, I want us to listen. Gossip is not a problem. Gossip is not a problem until we hear something juicy. You know, people say, okay, no, I'm not gossiping. I don't want to gossip, you know. But again, when someone is telling you something that you're here, you want to hear, you enjoy the gossiping. Am I right? Hallelujah. We never lose our temper as long as we are not around other people. Is that possible? You never lose your temper until you come to around other people. We usually not grumpy or nasty until somebody gets under our skin. Are you following me? Am I making sense? Hallelujah. We do okay as long as we're in bed. You know, it's the stuff that happens that will get us, you know, in trouble. You know, when you get up on the bed, again, maybe another thing will happen. So, brethren, obedience, is it easy? It's not easy. Well, if you say that it's easy in theory, but difficult in practice. In truth, as much we like to obey God, it's easy to say than it's done. That is something that Jews of Adam's day found out rather than quickly. You remember, after 16 years of delay, they finally began to rebuild the temple with great excitement. They launched into the project. Within a month, they got discouraged. Agag encouraged them to continue. 2 months passed. The people were downcast again and felt like quitting. This time, their problem was simple. God had told them that they are suffering because of their disobedience. So when they started to rebuild the temple, they expected this problem to be disappeared. You know, sometimes when you are doing something and again, and you want things to disappear, you know, when okay, now I'm obeying God now. Okay, I want things to, you know, to start happening. 3 months passed. Nothing has changed. They still had all the old problems, and the temple was long from being finished. So people began to wonder if it was to obey God. You know, have you ever found a situation that something happened to you and start asking yourself, but I pay my tithe, I pray, I obey God, I do all these things. Why is this happening to me? You know, start questioning, that is this want to obey God again? After all, there's no reward for obedience. Am I telling the truth that, you know, we feel like that sometimes when we find a situation? So, how can I deliver the message to people? Now, let's look at the message we just read now. You know, there are two questions that I can ask from verse 10 to verse 13. He said, on the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, you know, if you look at that time now, you know, that's around December 18, you know, 520 BC. If you convert that time, the word of the Lord came to Prophet Agag. This is the word the Lord Mighty says. Ask this priest what the Lord says. If a person carry consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, oil or other food, does it become consecrated? The priest answered, no. Then Adam said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? The priest said what? Yes, it becomes defiled. You know, Jews have many laws. They have many laws. And they use that, they supposed to obey those laws, the Jews' laws. Remember the letter say, this verse sounds rather strange to us. That what this law means, I mean, what this verse means. But everything Agar said would have made perfect sense to the Jews because it's part of their law. At that time, they have hundreds of laws governing all aspects of their lives. Most of the laws have to do with understanding what was holy, what was not holy at that time. What was holy, what was not holy at that time. The other things were objects that were set apart for God. For God's use. Usually we find those objects where? In the temple. But God is holy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is what?
Holy.
God is holy. And the only object could come into his presence. And an holy object is not necessarily means sinful. They're not sinful. For example, if I put a pot, you know, in the temple, and I say this pot is for God. The same pot, somebody in the house that used to do good cooking. But the one the Jews put in the temple is holy pot. But the one we are using in the house is what? Unholy, but it's not sinful. Am I with you? Hallelujah. We get it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the same pot that may be used by an household to cook a meal, in that case, it would be an ordinary pot. So in particular, dead bodies were defiled but not unclean, and anyone touching a dead body himself became what? Unclean. So with that background, these two questions come into focus. So what if something only touches something unholy? Again, something holy touches something unholy. Does it make it holy? If something holy touches something unholy, does the unholy things become holy? Yes, I know. Yes, I know. Okay, again. But what if an holy thing touches holy thing? It becomes what? It becomes defiled. It becomes defiled. Again, only touches holy. So only touches unholy. Is it equal to the unholy object remain unholy? Unholy touches holy. Holy object becomes defiled. And I'm going to explain that. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yeah.
What we're saying here is that this lesson is that it's about the powers of sin. The power of sin. Let me illustrate. Suppose you wash your hands and then you touch a dirty plate. Maybe your hand is clean. Your hand is clean. And you now touch the dirty plate. So what happens? Will your clean hand make the dirty plate clean? No. But the dirt on the plate will rub off your hands. So make your hands dirty. Now, okay, let's change the image now. You know, now we're now in the winter time now. Remember now, and again, people are putting winter shoes now. And let's say your son or your daughter went out, put his all this winter, I mean all the snow, and comes to the house without removing the shoe from the door. And now walk on a carpet. What do you think would happen? And that will be stained. Right? So the dirt on the shoe quickly stain the carpet. Right? So sin is like death. It spreads so quickly. It is hard to keep a house clean. It is hard to keep a life clean because sin stains everywhere. You know that sin is like a politic source. You know, I think everybody understands it's a sauce. You've seen it before. You know, when you finish your spaghetti and you put the sauce there, and when you're eating your spaghetti, it allows to fall on your cloth. You will see how it will stain your cloth. Are you with me? So it stains everywhere it touches. It stains everywhere it touches. The title we are saying is what? Spiritual blessing of obedience. So you can see that now we talk about the sin, because sin is the one that can block or prevent someone to obtain the spiritual blessing of obedience. If we look at the verse 14. Then like I said, so it is with these people and this nature in my sight, declared the Lord. Whatever they do, and whatever they offer, there is defiled. So here is the application of those strange questions. The key word here is whatever. When your heart isn't right with God, whatever you do will be what?
Unclean.
And will be wrong. You see, God wanted more than a temple built. You know, you can build everything, you can be paying your tithes, coming to church, be with everything, but when your heart is not clean, everything is wrong. Everything is wrong. He wanted the heart of the people to be fully devoted to him. God didn't want a big house filled with empty hearts. You know, as we're here, listen, as we're here, our heart must be clean. Our heart must be filled with God. He didn't want animal sacrifice unless accompanied by the living sacrifice of people. Write it down. Big plans, claims. You can't fool God. He isn't impressed by religious rituals unless they're accompanied by humble heart. Brother, do you know that holiness is not transparent? Do you know that holiness is not transferable? Do you know that? That okay, my husband is holy, then you can transfer it to the wife. Or okay, my wife, my husband, they are holy, can transfer it to the children. Holiness is not what? Transferable. Holiness begins from where? From the heart. That is the point. God wants your heart because If you have your heart, it will soon have every other part of your life. When God has what? Your heart, he has every other part of our life. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guide your heart. For it is the well-being, wellspring of life. So the question is, how about your heart? Is it right with God? That is the things that counts today. That is the thing that counts today. So how about your heart? I know that many of us are concerned about the heart disease. I'm not talking about the heart disease here today. But about spiritual heart disease. Again, spiritual heart disease. That is just indicious. Hallelujah. What will we find if we open our heart today? What will we find Jesus Christ in our heart when our heart is open today? If we look at verse 15 to 17, it is about a reminder about the past. In that guy that we read, a reminder about the past. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before. One stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When one went to a wine was to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. He stuck all the work of your hands with belief, midwifery, and aid, yet you did not turn to me, but declared. So in this verse, God reminds us how things were before they began to build the temple. They were going broke economically and spiritually. Every time they made $100, half of it disappeared. They invested $1,000 in a sure thing that they know that they invested this $1,000 going to get $10,000. Within a week, they lost $600. Everything they touched turned sour. Nothing worked right. The entire nation was in the economic decline, all because they had disobeyed God. Hallelujah. But I want you to note this last phrase. But still, you did not turn to me. That's all God wanted all along. He wanted his people to turn to him with whole heart and put him in the center of life. The act pushed God to the circumference, and as a result, God sent blades to their crops and made you to their souls. That leads to an important principle we often misunderstood or misunderstand. God discipline in order to restore, not to punish. You know, people are saying, why God is doing this? Why? You know, because they're not coming to him, it seems like it's punishment. No, it's not punishment. Discipline in order to restore. And we find ourselves in situation, especially when we are driven away from God, And when God wants to take us back, so situation arises in my life. And when a situation arises in my life, then again, God just wants that situation to restore him, to take us back to him. Hallelujah. It is true that God was behind their problem. It's true. You know, because God was giving their attempts, but wasn't doing it to punish them. He wanted to get them their attention and took their heart back to him. Let me give you a story. I had a story about a couple in the ministry who lost their position in a meeting. Very humiliating words. The wife was very angry over what had happened. I was bitter. Just like when we find ourselves in kind of situation and we are so angry, we are so bitter. But again, remember, this example I'm giving is person that's in the church. I'm not talking about somebody outside. So you can know that kind of relationship that person has with God. She was bitter over what happened to her and her husband. The way they are treated. So she especially resented the fact that her former friend won't speak to her anymore. And this anger was reserved for God. Was asking God what is happening to him. I have given all my life to be full-time Christian service. How dare you treat me this way? She's talking to God like that. She cried out. That night, she told God never to speak with her again. The next day, she remembered she wasn't supposed to speak to God. Tried not to. Later that day, God spoke to her and said, listen, you trusted me with your debt. God didn't say that you trusted me with your life. You trusted me with your debt. Why don't you trust me with your life? You trusted me with your debt. That means when she passes away, she's going to be heaven. If after that belief, how come you can cross me with your life? So she says to see what God will do. And that was the turning point for her. And from that moment, it changed. Brethren, many of us, we will waste hours, days, weeks, months, even years blaming others for our problem. But after you are true blaming the world for your mess you are in, you still have to do with God. And the quicker you deal with God, the quicker you can get better and move on with your life. Are you with me? It is a wonderful thing when you approach life with knowledge that even in the worst moment, God is not out to get you or to hurt you. He simply wants to bring you to a new and deeper relationship with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But then, you know, if we look at the verse 18 to 19, we see that an encouragement for the future. An encouragement for the future. You know, you can see there, they say, from this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to this day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the big tree, the probability and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this is all how we bless you.
Amen.
How we bless you. How we bless you. So notice that the same phrase is repeated twice. From this day on. It is as if God is saying, the past is the past. And we can't change that. But things are going to be different from now on. Let's draw two examples from this Christian truth. Now, the first one, blessing begins the moment we obey. Blessing begins the moment we do what? We obey. After the delay for 16 years, the Jews have finally started to rebuild the temple. But they had a long way to go, and their feet were still barren. I think some of them were wondering if all this talk about rebuilding, temple was worth the effort, Yeah, seeing things are not happening to them. Many of us look at our problem the same way. We look at our problem the same way. Just, inside you feel, okay, I'm doing everything right. I come to church, I read my Bible, I memorize, I meditate, I reflect, I pay my tithe, I pay my house. Why is this happening to me? Why? The unbelievers, the people you feel like they're unbelievers, they are prosperous. What's happening to me? Should I join them to be the same party with them? All thoughts start coming to your mind in different ways. We feel like we are so far away from what should have been. Say, what is use? Why bother trying? This will be different. It's going to be the same. The same the way I'm struggling. Let me give an example. Maybe this may help us. If you find your life with a bit of mess today, in any situation you find yourself, I want you to listen carefully. Just remember that you should not get where you are overnight. Because I want you to just look back at the history. The history of your life. You got there by taking 1,000 steps in the wrong direction over a long period of time. So therefore, don't be surprised if it takes you quite a few steps to get back your life in order again. You normally don't change your thinking overnight. Am I right?
Yes.
So sometimes you have a certain belief, and that belief doesn't change, quickly. It takes some time. Sometimes it doesn't change. And your belief has to go with your thinking. You don't break bad habit in 1 week. Am I right?
You're
right. Am I right?
Yes.
Think of this way. Every day you make thousands of decisions. Most of them very small decisions, very small. Like you want to eat, you want to sleep, you want to drink, it's a decision. You want to watch TV, you want to do many things, it's a lot of decisions you take. And again, a day you take thousands of decisions. So the solution we are going to take would affect you. I want to spend this money. I want to buy this online. Do I have enough money to do it? Or am I going to do it on my credit card? Okay, let me do a break out. Okay, there's money coming next month. That's when we come. And I'll tell you to pay my credit card. Am I right?
Yes,
sir. Am I right?
Yes.
You know, that's why the money is not in your bank, but you want to use your credit card. It has consequence. What happened to that money you're expecting? Did not come. You're in debt. Hallelujah. So most of we take a lot of decisions. But each decision either leads you towards the light or backwards the darkness. If your life is messed up, you feel like everything around you is total darkness, and you wonder if you ever see light again. The answer is, it depends on you. Depends on you. Depends on you. When you wake up and ask Lord to help you walk towards light, not just in the light, but towards light. And I'm going to explain that because some of us will say, okay, now, okay, God, because I'm in darkness now, okay, I want light now. Doesn't work like that. And I'm going to explain. I'm going to explain. Not just in the light, but towards light. If you keep taking tiny step towards the light of God, little by little, the shadow will begin to lift, and one day you wake up to the blazing light of God. Hallelujah. And God's presence will be around you. Hallelujah. But if God's to take those little steps every day in the right direction, so be encouraged. God doesn't begin the movement, we begin to obey Him. But if we walk in the light, as He is the light, we have worship with one another. And the blood of Jesus is so purified all of us, all the sins. You can see that in 1 John 1:7. You know, when you find yourself, as I said earlier, in this kind of situation, decision doesn't arise today. It takes times. It takes times before you get out of the situation. And then as you're walking step by step, step by step, step by step, and that situation will continue to revive itself. Just like I say, bad habit. You know, before you can do that, it takes time as well too. So it starts changing. Start changing until it gets completed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The second point is the harvest will come eventually. The harvest will come eventually. That's the spiritual blessing of obedience. The harvest will come eventually. All gardeners understand this principle. Mm-hmm. You don't plant today and harvest tomorrow.
No.
Have you ever seen that when you put your a seed, you know, and you expect that the seed will germinate by tomorrow, it starts having the crops. Okay. Hallelujah. It takes a few weeks for the plants to poke its way through the soil. And even more weeks, months for the fruit to ripe or harvest. It took the Jews 4 years to finish rebuilding the temple. 4 years. Note that they face continued opposition and discouragement all the way along. But by starting to rebuild, they were planting fresh seed in the ground. It hadn't come yet, and God is saying, don't worry, you are going to reap an abundant harvest eventually.
Amen.
Just be faithful. And I promise the harvest will come in. This is an important for Christian workers to remember. Sometimes we go well in the service of the Lord. And I wonder if our efforts are in vain. God says, you plant the seed and let me take care of the harvest. Hallelujah. If you are, I want us to rise and I want us to take this song before we pray. Trust and hold it. Trust and hold it. Oh, that way to the end in Jesus for the trust and hold it. When we walk with the Lord,
when we walk with the Lord,
in the light of his word,
in the light of his
word, what a glory
we share on his way.
Why we do is good.
Good
way. He abides with us still. And with all
who trust and obey.
Trust and obey.
For there's no other way to be happy.
Not a shadow can rise,
not
a cloud in the sky,
but
is my quickly drafted away. Not a doubt or a fear,
not a sign of a tear.
And I buy while we trust and obey.
Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. Let us pray. And I want us to open our minds to pray. You know, this month is the month of October. We have only 2 months to go in 2020. And we can see everything that has been happening around us. And I believe every one of us, we are in one situation or another situation. And again, we're asking God to arise in the situation. I want us to open our minds this morning and ask him, because we know we are human, and there's a way maybe we have offended him or one way or the other, but he should arise in our situation. He should arise in our situation because the time is going, and I've been feeling that, oh, this pressure I'm feeling. Oh, how am I going to pay my mortgage next month? How am I, all my finances, all the things that happened around me. I want you to commit everything to the hand of God, because the time of harvest has come. The time of harvest has come. Hallelujah. I want us to put all our situation in the hand of God this morning. I want to commit everything with the hand of God, because His Spirit, His Holy Spirit is here, and the gate of heaven has opened this morning to us. And our prayers are rising upon the heavens now. I want us to open our hearts to Him. I want us to pray and open our hearts to Him. And listen, and the Spirit of God is here. But then, is it God that sees the heart of the kings? He sees your heart, he knows your desire. He knows your desire and see. And again, now I want you to open your heart to him, open your mouth and pray. Whatever situation you find yourself, you know it. Open it up your mouth. You know straight for yourself. Because he's listening this morning. Because the harvesting time is here. Thank you, Lord, for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brethren, I want us to ask for forgiveness of the sins. The one we committed, the one we committed knowingly and unknowingly. I want us to commit everything to ask forgiveness. Because without forgiveness, and we still have sins in our heart, there's no way God will answer us. I want us this morning to ask forgiveness of our sins. So that we are able to draw us to him this morning. As I said, this year is going, there's many things happen this year, Lord. Many things happen this year, Lord. Many things. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. And we know in our heart that when we obey you, you bless us, Lord. For that, Lord, bless us, Lord.
Amen.
Bless us, Lord.
Amen.
You see our hearts, Lord. You know our desire, Lord. We don't have any other person but you, Lord. You say we should seek and we are seeking you, Lord. You say we should act and asking you, Lord. This morning, Lord, and going forth, Lord. Bless us, Lord.
Amen.
Bless us, Lord.
Amen.
Because we know that many things we need, Lord. This morning we are committing all our needs to you, Lord. You are the only one that is able to provide us all those blessings and your needs, Lord. For the Lord, come and meet our needs, which was for the sake, Lord. Because as we are here in sanctuary, and people that lean to us online, Lord, every one of us, we have a particular needs that we are asking you for. As the gate of heaven has opened this morning, and your spirit is here with us, Lord. For that, Lord, for our needs, Lord.
Amen.
Miss our needs, Lord.
Amen.
Let all your blessings, Father, Lord, be upon us this morning, Lord.
Amen.
And going forth, Lord.
Yes.
Because we know and we trust you, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. And I pray this first, Lord.
Amen.
And I want to sing that song again. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. But there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, for that